7.5 years. That's not really a long time, but it is kind of a long time. It's long enough to think back and wonder what kind of impact you've had by being a part of a place like St. Matthew Church. So here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to repeat some things that I've said in the past. I hope you remember them. You may not. But even more, I hope that the things that you heard and the things that you hear will make a difference. Now, the first one isn't really something that I said exactly. It's something that a friend of mine said. Who just said that? Who just said, I was hoping Josh would come here?
What is that?
That's a microphone. It's so that people can hear you talk.
What's that?
That's a microphone so people can hear me making you talk.
Oh! What do I do now?
Well, this is it's the part of the sermon, remember we rehearsed this, where you're going to say something that you said before. It was in a children's sermon down there.
Oh, I recognize that place! Yep! I've never been here before! Ow!
All right, well, you were here before for the rehearsal, do you remember?
Yeah, okay. All right, well, here we go. Should I go now?
Yes, you should go now. Don't keep looking at me. Just look out there at the people.
Hi, it's me, Josh! Yep! Oh, I wanted to tell you that what's that word where you start a business?
Entrepreneur.
What he said. Okay, I'm one of those, and I'm starting a new company. It's for men with bad breath.
Why are you starting a company for men with bad breath?
Well, it's not really a company for men with bad breath. It's a candy company, and our first candy is for men with bad breath.
Why would you do that?
I was inspired by talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, see, we're going to make mints for men who have bad breath. We're the Tenko Candy Company.
The Tenko Candy Company?
Yeah, Tenko.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It just sounds good?
Yeah, you know, like Kodak. That sounds good. I don't know what it means. Or, what's a good name for a company?
Tango.
Tango? Yeah, that's a good one, Tango. Yeah, our first product is the mints for men with bad breath. You know what we're calling them? Tango Man Mints. Ha!
Are you kidding me? I hoped I would never have to hear you say that again.
Okay, I gotta go. All right, bye.
Bye, Josh. There's Josh. All right, that's something that a friend of mine said, but here are some others. If you're interested in seeing what sermons these come from, I'm not going to say this comes from this sermon or anything here. It's listed here. But if you go to the website, it's there, it's linked. You can, like, click through and then read the rest of the sermon so that the quote makes sense in the context of that. I hope that they make sense here. Here we go. When things are finished, I hope you feel bothered, bewildered, confused, yet very challenged. In case you hadn't looked or hadn't noticed, I'm a person who is outgoing and energetic and often excited. No, really. You may think that I'm shy and reserved. But I really am outgoing and energetic. However, all too often, I forget to be excited about my relationship with God. Of course, when we make announcements, Everyone thinks that their announcement is the important one, one that must be said. For instance, I know announcements are too long, but this one is important. Incidentally, there are no announcements during worship today. My brothers and sisters, you'd better beware of procrastination when it comes to your salvation. I might put you at risk of conflagration. I don't mean to cause consternation, but we as a nation must turn from our flesh-centered celebration and instead walk the road of sanctification. I'm a mess. And God loves me and wants to be with me through everything. I can't really offer you any physical or scientific evidence of Christ's resurrection. I can tell you that I believe in it. I believe that Jesus Christ lived on earth, was crucified, died, and was buried. And I believe that on the third day, he really did rise from the grave alive. I have doubt that the Bible has come to us without the flaws people have put into it. But I have faith that the Bible, as it has come to us, is the Bible from which God wants us to learn and study. I have doubt that a loving God would allow all the hate and tragedy in the world, even if it is people who have set the wheels in motion that kind of lead to it all. I believe that God has a picture that is much bigger than mine, and that God is far smarter than I am, or anyone else in the world could ever hope to be. I believe that we have built up walls that divide people who are followers of Christ. Some of our church traditions have become completely unmovable and actually keep us from living what God has promised. Our denominations are kinds of walls that divide us, even though we are part of the same body. And most of all, the structures we have built have become fortresses where people come to worship, but outside the walls, we don't exist. Look around the sanctuary. There are people here you may never have noticed. There are people here you may have known for years. There are people here that you have seen but have never yet met. There might be people here you are trying to avoid. God's neighborhood is big enough for all kinds of different people. It's big enough for babies, children, youth, young adults, middle-aged adults, seniors, everyone. It's big enough for those with no education and those with advanced degrees. God's neighborhood is big enough for lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered people. God's neighborhood is big enough for rich people, poor people, and barely scraping by people. God's neighborhood is big enough for people with disabilities and people with mental illness. God's neighborhood is big enough for Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Greens, political activists, and political apathists. I made up that word. God's neighborhood is big enough for soldiers, militia, and terrorists. Sometimes you read things or hear things that get you all twisted upside down inside, either in anger, sadness, or contempt. Jesus stirred those kinds of feelings when he walked the earth, and I believe he still does it today. Now, Paul didn't say that people couldn't disagree about things or that they couldn't argue, but he did tell them that they had to agree that Christ was the one that they were serving. Isn't that foundational for Christianity? And it doesn't mean that the issues that we discuss and argue about aren't important. It does mean that as we follow Christ, our disagreements have to have the knowledge surrounding them that we are disagreeing as people who agree that we love Jesus. The issues are huge: politics, abortion, homosexuality, poverty, war. And there are no easy answers to huge issues. And we have to somehow understand that people who follow Jesus don't agree on even the biggest issues. But with Jesus at the core, the foundation, we build on in different ways. We have different ideas about how to worship. We have different ideas about when to worship. We have different ideas about what policies we should have as a church. We have different ideas about how our annual budget should look. We have different ideas about what we should do with the future and the structure and the property. We have different ideas on what we think to build on the foundation of Jesus is. I think that some have the idea that Jesus at our core means that we will always be in agreement. And I don't think that. I believe that how we continue to have Jesus at the core while disagreeing with others who have Jesus at the core is what shows that Jesus is our foundation. Faith in God gives us permission not to know for sure, but to trust that God is guiding and leading us to continue to show love. Faith in God gives us permission to seek God, make mistakes, fail miserably, and continue seeking God. Faith in God gives us permission to take a step forward, not knowing what the result will be, but trusting that God will continue to guide us and abide with us. Faith in God lets us disagree with one another and still love and serve God together. Conventional wisdom tells us that when we feel safe in our own nest, we can rest easy. I believe God's unconventional way takes us away from where we feel safe and to where we must rely on God to protect us. And God's wisdom is way beyond ours. I think that God chose humble and controversial beginnings for Jesus so Jesus would know humanity, so that Jesus would live through problems and persecution and understand how humans think and feel. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to have fame. It's not wrong to have nice homes and cars. Jesus didn't model all that, though, did he? When you see a tree, you can be reminded that you are like a branch on that tree. You can do what a branch does. It bears fruit. If you're off the tree, you can't bear fruit. But you can and do bear fruit because it is part of your very nature as a branch on the tree. What happens when we question what people have written? What happens when we question the way people have understood the Bible and prophecy for a long, long time? Is it time to circle the wagons and protect what must be protected? Or is it time to fight to protect what must be protected? Does the phrase "God is still speaking" mean that we ignore what the Bible says in place of some new thought? Does it mean that we have more and new things to understand from God's Word? Does it mean something else? Is it possible that sometimes the words become more sacred than the truth? Is it possible that sometimes the desire to get to the truth becomes more sacred than the truth? Do we find God revealed only in things that please us? Is it only in what we perceive as good? Can we acknowledge God even when things aren't going the way we want them to? Is it possible for us to continue to love, trust, and see God in the best and the worst of times? Jesus is the outcast. Jesus is the homeless. Jesus is the nobody everyone turns away from. Jesus is the person most voted least likely to succeed. Jesus is the annoying neighbor who plays their music too loud. Jesus is all the people who make your skin crawl. This religion, this really old-time religion, is something that is not at all pompous and hypocritical. It is genuine, authentic, deep, and true. It seeks to care for the widows and the orphans and the poor and the rejected and the outcast and the sick and the marginalized and the angry and the bullied and those who are being persecuted and those who work hard every day and still don't have enough and the people you didn't really want to care for. It's seeking to be genuinely, authentically, deeply, and truly following of God and what God desires for you to be and to do. I believe that God wants us to share our lives with another. I believe that God wants us to love that person and be loved by them. And God doesn't want us to abuse that love or take that love for granted. And anyone who has experienced something different than that, leading to divorce or feeling shunned or outcast, unwanted, unimportant, or unloved, are precious. People dealing with hurt need compassion and support and healing. There are lots of times that people do things in church that cause offense to others. There are times when Believers take a stand for what they believe, and it's not comfortable for others to hear it. There's a time when people disagree so much that people on both sides of an issue are sure that the other side is creating a stumbling block to faith. And I don't have easy answers to that problem, but I do have a guideline that I think is worth following. If something we do or say or teach becomes a stumbling block, it's better not to do it. But if the stumbling block is stopping a person from exploiting, abusing, or devaluing another person, then it is worth doing. I believe that when the Holy Spirit fills us, we are not moved to give God less of ourselves. We are motivated and driven to grow in our faith, to reach out to others in need, and to turn away from the things that keep us from God's call on our lives. Where do we forget or fail to see Jesus? Is it in the people we're angry with? Is it in the people we're estranged from? Is it in the people we wish would just keep their opinions to themselves? Is it in the people we want to be kind to but just can't seem to do it? Learning more, digging deeper, considering that there is more to understand is something that is so important in our faith growth. When we read the Bible, listen to sermons, attend Sunday school, participate in Bible study, read devotions, discuss with our friends, we're in the process of seeking more than what is simply on the surface. What would it mean if instead of concentrating on what we can do for God because we feel obligated or because we think God deserves it, that we just experience God's continued presence in our lives? And what if instead of making compartments where we pay attention to God, and when we do and when we don't, What if instead of making compartments for when we pay attention to God and when we don't, that we just let go and encounter God everywhere? Not because we have to or because we were reminded to by our teachers and preachers, but because we just do. In this life of stress, sickness, anger, sadness, and sorrow, take a break to, not from, God. I don't think you need some fancy or highly technical way to share how God has moved you in your life. Just tell your story. The concept seems very simple. How amazing it would be if instead of resorting to anger and harsh words with one another, we continually sought ways to understand the validity of others' opinions. Instead of arguing with someone about the right interpretation of Scripture, how about taking this "do not be afraid" part from Jesus seriously? Offer Jesus hope to someone this week. Think of someone that you'd like to offer that hope to. Offering this hope wrapped in hellfire and damnation isn't exactly what I have in mind. Offer Jesus hope in the form of peace, assistance, care, kindness, forgiveness, reconciliation, generosity, and love. Whether or not you're a follower of Jesus, make a commitment to serve your brother and sister in a tangible, significant way for the next month. And then make a commitment to do it again the next month. Do it for 6 months straight, and then see if you even realize that you're doing it or if you've become unaware. I'd like to issue a challenge for the next 35 mornings. Wake up and ask, "God, guide me today," as soon as you wake up. Trust that God will. I don't know what your experience will be. I don't know how your journey will go, but I'm interested to hear about it. Here's a challenge for you and for me too. Pick a time early in the morning, at night, whenever. Pick it when it's not completely convenient so that you'll notice and not forget too quickly. Then go off by yourself and pray. Do it all week. And then at the end of the week, do it again. Think of 3 things you can say to someone today to encourage them. Who will you say it to? What will you do to help encourage them? Remember to pray for one person, 1 minute a day at 1 o'clock. Trust God. Step out in faith. Trust God. Persevere. Trust God. Share your faith. Trust God. take a risk for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give us life. God has done all the work. There is nothing at all we can do to ever earn God's love or God's grace. Jesus gave us two foundational and essential rules. Do you remember them? Love God with all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Can you say that again? Love God with all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would move us, you would challenge us, you would remind us, you would help us and guide us to live our lives following your two rules, knowing that there's nothing that we can do to ever earn your love, your grace, but knowing that you have given us these two to love you, to love our neighbor. Amen.